In today's Mishnah, so in the 4th and 5th Mishnah, from the 10th Perek of Masechta Yevamot, Mishnah begins, Mishacha Yishtole Minerat Hayam. So someone whose wife went overseas, Ubal V'amrlo, and they came and brought testimony that she is Meta Ishtacha, that his wife passed away. Then what did he do? V'nasa Et Achota. So based on that testimony, he went and marries his wife's sister. So we've mentioned previously that one's not allowed to marry their wife's sister, unless, of course, his wife has already passed away. So based on the testimony, he was allowed to marry the sister. And after bat ishto, and then after that, his original wife returns. Mishnah says, muteret lachzor lo. She, means original wife, is allowed to return back to him. Why is that? That is because when he married the sister, well, it wasn't considered kiddushin, it wasn't even considered a marriage, because she was prohibited to him by way of an isur karet, and therefore it's just simply defined as nut. Now, since he was never married to the sister, Mishnah continues, humuter bekrovat shniyah, he's allowed to marry any of the relatives of the sister, that he would be pinned to in a normal case anyway, for example, the sister's daughter, ushnia muter b'krovav, and likewise, that sister is allowed to marry any of his relatives. V'im meta rishon, if his wife actually did pass away, as we've already explained, mutar b'shnia, he'd now be able to marry the sister. Amra lo, if they came and said to him, meta ishtecha, your wife has passed away, v'nasat achota, and then, as we've explained in this case, first case, he goes and marries the sister. V'charkach, and after that, Amru that said to him, Kayemet hata, actually, when you married the sister, your wife was still alive. However, now, the meta, and after that, she died. Avlad harishon, meaning any child from that relationship, while the wife was still alive, since it's punishable by karet, Mishnah says that child would be a mamzer. V'acharon, meaning a child that was born out of a relationship with a sister after his wife really passed away, since at that point she was mutar for him, Mishnah says, Einu mamzer would not be considered a mamzer, it would be a valid child. Now Rabbi Yossi Omer says as follows, Kol she posel yedei acharin posel yedei atzmo, the kol she einu posel yedim, einu posel yedei atzmo. Now having the diagrams from the website, or if you want to draw with a pen and paper, will certainly help here. Rabbi Yossi is arguing about a particular case. So let's explain what the case is. Here we've got two sisters, Leah and Rachel. I'm using the names as Kahati uses, so it might be helpful if you're using Kahati yourself. Now, Leah marries Reuven, and Rachel marries Moshe. Reuven and Moshe aren't related to one another, to simplify things, certainly. Now, what happens next is Leah and Moshe go overseas. Word is brought that, Edom come and say that Leah and Moshe had passed away. So what does Reuven do? Reuven goes and marries what he thinks is his late wife, Leah. He marries a sister, which is Rachel. So that looks very much like our case. Then what happens? Moshe and Leah returns. So Kohen Chachamim would treat this like we've been treating all the cases thus far. Meaning, just as we learned in this Mishnah, it should be that Leah is allowed to go back to Reuven. Because this is exactly, if you just split the case in half, it's exactly like the case of a Mishnah. Reuven's wife, he assumed, passed away based on witness testimony. He marries a sister, and as we explained in this Mishnah, if his wife comes back, she's mutar to him. Now, let's look at the other side of the chart. We've got Rachel, who got married to Reuven based on the testimony their husband had passed away, which is Moshe. He returns back. What was the ruling in those situations? Well, then she'd be asked to go back to Moshe. She'd need a divorce from both Reuven and Moshe, as we've already explained. So we see here that Leah and Rachel are treated differently. Leah is mutar to Reuven, Rachel will be asked to Moshe. According to Rabbi Yossi, he says actually the status of Leah and Rachel are going to be exactly the same, but it depends on the case. Meaning as follows. So if Reuven was betrothed, he did kiddushin to Leah before the incident happened, then Leah and Moshe went overseas, the Edom said they'd passed away, and then he married Rachel, people would think that what happened, that the kiddushin that Reuven performed to Leah was bitnai, was on condition, or some sort of stipulation that didn't go through, and therefore Reuven, when he married Rachel, really married Rachel. And therefore, when everyone returns, he'd have to give Rachel a get. The issue will be now, is that Rachel wouldn't be able to go back to Moshe. Why? Because we've got a prohibition of a machzir rushato, which means that if a man divorces his wife, the wife marries somebody else, and divorced, she can't go back to the original husband. Therefore, Rachel's asur to Moshe. So too now, Leah will be asur to Reuven. Why? Because Leah would be considered like the achot, the sister of grushato. The grushato, the woman he's now divorced by way of this concern, which is Rachel, who, just to clarify, wasn't really his original wife. It was really Leah. So in that situation, we have symmetry in the sense that both Leah and Rachel are asur to their husbands, and that's if this case is where Leah was betrothed to Reuven, it was kedushin. That's where we say, kol sheposel al yedei achrim, posel al yedei atzmo. However, if Reuven performed nisuin, he was probably married to Leah. before the incident happened. And then Leah and Moshe went away, and then we found out that they got testimony that they passed away. Reuven now marries Rachel. Then Leah and Moshe return. In that case, since everybody knows that one's not allowed to marry their wife's sister while their wife is still alive, everyone will know that it was betaut, it was a mistake. Therefore, just as Leah is allowed to go back to Reuven, Rachel too would be allowed to go back to Moshe. So in this situation, we have symmetry once again. Both Leah and Rachel were mutar to their original husbands. Now, I appreciate if you don't get this necessarily the first time, but it'll certainly help with the diagrams if you didn't use them until this point. Let's now learn Mishnah Hay. Amru lo, they said to him, meta ishtecha, your wife passed away, v'nasa achota, and he marries his wife's sister, me'aviha, from a common father. Then they said, meta, that this second wife passed away, v'nasa achota mi'ima, and he marries a sister of the second wife from a common mother. Importantly, again, the diagrams here will certainly help, wife number one and wife number three are not related. Wife number one and two related by a common father. Wife number two and three are related by a common mother. Let's continue. Meta. And then they say the third wife passed away when Asachotah married the sister from a common father. Then they say wife number four passed away when Asachotah me'ima. And then he marries this wife number five is related for us, wife number four by way of a common mother. So this just to explain, to make it clear, that wife number one and two related, two and three related, but one and three are not. So every wife in order is related to the one next to them, but the one, not the one, and not multiple steps away. Mishnah then says, "V'nimtza kulam kayamot." We find out that actually all this was wrong. They're all alive, and they're all returned back from their respective places they disappeared to. Mishnah says, "Muter b'rishona b'shlisha b'chamishit." He would be able to be married to the Rishon, Shlishit, and Chamishit, wife number one, three, and five. Why not two, and why not four? Well, number two is a sister of one, but number three is not related to anybody at that stage, so that's why it's Mutar one and three. Four is a sister of three, and five at that point is not related, we said, to three or one, so therefore he's allowed to stay married to one, three, and five. Likewise, potot sarot tehev. So if he dies without having any children, and not only does he have this wife number one, three, and five, he might have other tsaras as well. If one of the brothers performed yibum or chalitza to wife number one, three, or five, it would exempt the tsaras, any other co-wives, from yibum or chalitza. The asur, however, he's prohibited to marry, as we've already explained, or to be with, shnia uravia, wife number two and four. Why? Because wife number two is a sister of wife number one, and wife number four is a sister of wife number three. And if one of the brothers does yibum chalitza to wife number two or four, since they're not really his wives, it doesn't help, and the tsaras would still require yibum chalitza. If, however, he married wife number two after wife number one really passed away, so he was allowed to marry wife number two, Mishnah says, in that situation, we shift everything over by one. Mutar b'shniya ravia. The wife number two and four are mutar to be his wives. If one of the brothers pulled yibum chalitza to wife number two or four, then any of the tsaros would be exempt because wife number two and four are really his wives. The asur, however, he's not allowed to be married to wife number three or five now. Why? Wife number three is the sister of wife number two, and wife number five is the sister of wife number four. And if one of the brothers does yibum chalitza to this wife number three or five, since they're not really his wives, it would not exempt any of the tsaros from yibum chalitza. Those are the Mishnah today.